Macmillan Audio presents Here We Are, written and narrated for you by Arthi Namdev Shahani. Prologue. Through a strange coincidence, I met the man who ran the jail where Dad was locked up. "How'd a girl like you start visiting Rikers anyway?" he asked me. "My dad was an inmate there," I said. Not the answer he was expecting. We were hunched over a tiny oak table in one of those quaint cafes on the Upper East Side. I kept stepping on his toes, not on purpose. The jailer, Martin Horn, happened to be friends with a genius mentor of mine. Now retired, Martin liked having meandering conversations with journalists. I'm a journalist. Only, I wasn't on my A game. He was the one asking all the good questions, digging deeper. "Who was the judge in your dad's case?" he asked. "Why?" "Maybe I know him." "Sure he does. Just like because I'm from Queens, I know everyone there." "Blumenfeld," I humored him. The judge was Joel Blumenfeld. "Is that right?" The jailer's eyes lit up. "He's one of my best friends. We go way back to the Vietnam War days. Really nice guy." Really nice guy. Quite a tone-deaf way to describe the man who presided over the case that ruined my family, incrementally, over the course of 14 years. "I think you'd like Joel. You want to meet him?" The jailer loved connecting people. "Let me know if you're interested." He made it sound as casual as a Tinder date. "Thanks, I'll let you know." I said it with disinterest, but that's only because I felt such an intense surge of emotion that my game face kicked in. These last few years, I'd been trying not to think about the past. By anyone's measure, I took aggressive steps to forget it. But wherever I turned, there it was. I could never stop feeling like that teenage girl sitting in court, holding her mom's hand, seeing her dad in handcuffs. His once alert eyes crumbled into an empty stare. No matter how hard I tried to be someone else, that's the girl I always was. Am. It didn't take longer than a week for me to accept the jailer's offer. Judge Joel Blumenfeld replied almost instantly. "I hear you on the radio," he wrote in his email. "Why don't you come by next time you're in town?" When I'm not chasing the skeletons in my family's closet, I'm a correspondent for NPR. I live in California and cover the largest companies on Earth, three of which are a short drive from me in Silicon Valley. I was supposed to be scheduling my interview with a billionaire who'd invested early in Facebook and Twitter. Not with this judge, who was clearly off my beat. But being a journalist has its perks, namely access. I get VIP treatment from all kinds of people who otherwise would never give me the time of day. The judge invited me into his private chambers. That's a place no defendant's kid gets to go. The place behind the courtroom, where he writes his decisions about how long someone is sent to prison, or whether the convicted can reopen a case. I didn't expect that. And it turns out, I was not ready for it. I went during one of my business trips to New York. I took the E train into Queens, just like I used to when I'd visit Dad in jail. That was a lifetime ago. Not much had changed. A McDonald's wrapper tossed on the orange subway seat. The train cars rattling on the tracks like there was an earthquake. Will they ever fix these tracks? Exiting the turnstile at Union Turnpike, I was about to make a left for the Rikers bus stop. Muscle memory. Then I remembered that's not where I was going. I walked down Queens Boulevard and past the bodega run by Indians. I used to buy Doritos there, back when I was young enough to metabolize Doritos. I spotted the dusty glass storefront with the words abogado, lawyer, stenciled in huge black letters on a tacky yellow awning, and
sample complete. Ready to continue?